It changes our attitude. It changes our actions. It changes our speech. It changes our hearts in the sense that we had a heart that hated God, but now we have a heart that loves God, and sanctification works with the heart, bringing us to love our Savior more and more and more. The Larger Catechism emphasizes sanctification a little bit more in depth than the shorter, and says that it is a work of God's free grace, whereby they whom God has, before the foundation of the world, chosen to be holy, are in time, through the powerful operation of His Spirit, applying the death and resurrection of Christ unto them.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, and I'm Andrew Fitton, welcoming you today to our program, and I'm delighted to have you with us as we preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Hello, and welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. We thank you for joining us today as we share God's Word with you. The old Scottish preacher Samuel Rutherford said, "I counsel you to study sanctification and to be dead to this world." The work of the Holy Spirit in the sanctification of the believer is a vital part of our walk with God. Note what is said in 1 John 1, verse 7, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin." Colossians 2, verse 6 reminds us as well to walk in Christ Jesus. We are complete in Him. Thomas Vincent has a small book on the Shorter Catechism, and in it he explains this doctrine of sanctification. The Catechism asks the question, what is sanctification? Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man, after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin, and live unto righteousness. Vincent asks the question, whose work is the work of sanctification? Though we be the subjects of sanctification, yet we are not the authors and efficient causes of our sanctification. We can defile ourselves, but we cannot cleanse and renew ourselves. Sanctification, he says, is the work of God, which is wrought by His Spirit. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Wherein is our sanctification begun? Our sanctification is begun in our regeneration and effectual calling, wherein our minds are first enlightened and our wills renewed, and the habits of all graces are infused. Today, are you desiring, as a believer in Christ, as one who knows and loves Him, to be sanctified, to walk in the light, to forsake sin, and to live unto righteousness? Vincent speaks of two parts of sanctification. Firstly, mortification, whereby we are enabled to die more and more unto sin. And secondly, vivification, whereby we are enabled to live unto righteousness. Let's go today to our pulpit in Cloverdale for a message on the subject, sanctified and complete in Him.
What is sanctification?
Last time we were considering together Colossians chapter 2 and the verse 10, where the Word of God says, "And ye are complete in Him." I want to take you again to our opening
whereby
we're
renewed in the whole man after the image of
the second part of
and are enabled
message,
more and more to die unto sin
and
live on to righteousness. We considered something of justification this morning in light of this subject of being complete in Christ. We are saved, and we therefore are complete in Him. And we are complete in Christ alone. We are redeemed and we are saved through and because of Him. But the question arises, how do these terms differ? What is the difference between justification and sanctification? Justification being an act of God's free grace, whereby we are pardoned of our sin, we are saved, we are redeemed, our sins are forgiven. And sanctification is a work. It is something that is ongoing. And these terms are biblical terms. They're used by the Word of God to denote and to explain the standing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Westminster Larger Catechism explains the difference and says, although sanctification be inseparably joined with justification, yet they differ. In that God in justification imputes the righteousness of Christ. In sanctification, His Spirit infuses grace and enables to the exercise thereof. In the former, sin is pardoned. In the other, it is subdued. The one does equally free all believers from the revenging wrath of God, and that perfectly in this life, that they never fall into condemnation. The other is neither equal in all, nor in this life perfect in any, but growing up to perfection. It is justification that saves us and redeems us from the power of sin, from the consequences of sin. But it is sanctification throughout our life, works within us, and brings us closer to the Savior. It changes our attitude. It changes our actions. It changes our speech. It changes our hearts in the sense that we had a heart that hated God, but now we have a heart that loves God, and sanctification works within our heart, bringing us to love our Savior more and more and more. The Larger Catechism emphasizes sanctification a little bit more in depth than the shorter, and says that it is a work of God's free grace, whereby they whom God has, before the foundation of the world, chosen to be holy, are in time, through the powerful operation of His Spirit, applying the death and resurrection of Christ unto them, renewed in their whole man, after the image of God, having the seeds of repentance unto life, and all other saving graces put into their hearts, and those graces so stirred up, increased, and strengthened, so that they more and more die unto sin and rise unto newness of life. When we think of sanctification, that is really what it is about. We die more and more unto sin. We forsake sin more and more. The Apostle Paul used the word mortifying the flesh. Putting to death, that's what it means, mortify. Putting to death those sins that can hinder our relationship with God. Sins that need to be dealt with. We die unto those sins. They're set aside, and we live unto newness of life. Dear believers, we consider this morning that we are complete in Christ for salvation. We're considering tonight sanctification. Do you have that desire not merely to be saved, not only to be converted, not only to know that Christ is your Savior, that He is your Redeemer, that at the end of this world, all is well with your soul, but do you have that desire to know Christ more and more, to live more and more for Him? He is not merely a Savior, but He is your Master. He's your Lord as you serve Him and live for Him. William Ames, the Puritan, said, and the Puritans emphasized so much truth, practical truth, application of truth concerning sanctification. They dealt at large with reading and with prayer, with study, with knowing the Word of God and its application to our hearts. They believed that not only in the sinner being justified, but that the sinner is sanctified by the Spirit of God and changed by the working of the Lord. and through the instruction of Scripture. And he said, he asked the question, what are the signs of true sanctification? And he spoke about a reformation of all the powers and the faculties of the whole man. A reformation, a change in our faculties. Faculties and powers that ran after sin and desired things of this world. Now those things have been reformed and they're focused upon the Savior. He said about a respect to all the commandments of God. Loving those commandments. Respecting them. And what does respect mean? What does respect mean? Respect means an obedience. It means adhering. If we were to say about a child respecting their parents, what does that mean? Does it mean that the parent says to the child, tidy your room, and the child says, no, goes and does something else? That's not what it means. If a child respects their parent, the child will say, yes, I'll do it. If they really respect their parent, they'll say, yes, I'll drop everything now and do it right now. There's a respect to who the parent is. There is a respect to that request. And that respect to all the commandments of God. They're not grievous to us. We love them. We respect and honor our God. We want to walk in His ways. We want to walk in His Word. He saved us. We're complete in Him. We do not desire then to live as if we are still in the world and to live as if we are not actually complete in Him. We respect His commandments. Thirdly, there's a constant care to avoid all sin. How important that is to flee sin. Sanctification is dying more and more unto sin and living unto righteousness. And therefore, sanctification includes a constant care to avoid sin, to make sure we are dying unto it, to make sure that we are mortifying the sins of the flesh. Fourthly, a walking before God. We think of Abraham, we think of Enoch, those old men who walked with God. They walked faithfully with God. They loved the Lord. We think of the other saints of God who walked with the Lord. Sanctification, dear believer, is about you and I walking with Christ. Having that close relationship with the Lord. Coming to His Word. And as we read His Word, we hear His voice instructing us. We hear the exposition of Scripture, the expounding of Scripture that comes from that. We hear the instruction to our hearts. We commune with Him in prayer. We walk in His ways. We walk in His ways. We don't go from one side to the next, veering off our path. We don't walk with others. We walk with our God. Walking in His ways and in His commandments. And dear believer, that is what is expected of those who know and love the Lord. To forsake this world and to walk not with Satan, but to walk with God. Fifthly, there's a combat between the flesh and the Spirit. We see that in Ephesians 6. There is a battle. There is an ongoing conflict. The flesh desires sin. Satan is influencing. There is temptation. And there is that combat between the Spirit and the flesh, which, as we are sanctified, we know that victory over the flesh. You see, from these things, sanctification is vitally important. It's not something we should set aside. Oh, Christ has saved me. Doesn't matter about anything else. Christ has saved me. Now I have the freedom to do what I want. Christ has saved me at the end of my life. As it were, in a sinking ship, there's a lifeboat. And when I get to the end of my life, I step into the lifeboat. Because I've trusted Christ, I've, as it were, saved my place on the lifeboat. Getting off the sinking ship, and now I can do what I want. That's not how salvation works. That is not how sanctification works. The apostle here reminds us of sanctification, walking with Christ, walking with the Lord, being built up in Him, forsaking those who seek to entice us and to deceive us. And why is that? Because in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10 sums it up. A pivotal point. We had trouble saying that word this morning. I remember many years ago, and when I said the word pivotal, it was probably the second line of a sermon. And again, I was tongue-tied over it. I think after today, I'll never mention it in a sermon again, because it seems to be one word that I seem to struggle on now and again. But there is that center point, verse 10, pivotal point. Paul comes and he brings us to that pinnacle. And he says, ye are complete in him. And we can think of that as salvation as we consider this morning. But also sanctification. But the Savior is set forth here as the fullness of God. All the shadows and types of the Old Testament pointed to him. In him is everything that we need. He is the Son of God, the Redeemer of sinners. And therefore, because of who he is, we can rest secure that as his people, we are complete or perfect in him. We can think of the Jews. They thought themselves complete in the ceremonial law, but we are not complete in that. We are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, complete and sanctified by him. And sanctification is what we as new creatures should desire. Our lives have changed because of Christ. And Paul emphasizes that, because of Christ, because we have received Christ in verse 6. So walk ye in him. Walk ye in him. And the question, dear believer, you should ask this evening is very simple and very clear. Lord, am I living according to thy word? There's another question, and am I being sanctified by thy word? Another question, am I desiring to be sanctified, to be separated from this world unto Christ? Am I desirous to be a God-fearing man or woman or young person? Am I desiring those things? When we think of work, when we think of education, we often have goals or aims. There are things we want to achieve. Maybe in the workplace, it's some sort of training. Maybe it's some course to enable us to get a higher position, to go forward in the business. In education, obviously, the end goal is to know some things, and that will later on enable us to know more things. That will enable us to later on know more things, and hopefully with knowing all of these things, we'll get a job and be able to earn a good living. But there is an aim and a purpose. Where do we want to go? Where do we want to be in 2 years or 3 years or 5 years? What is our purpose here in what we're doing now, looking to the future? And we often do that. Even as families, we do that. Some may think, well, 5 years' time, we should be in a position to purchase a new house or to maybe change our car or something like that. There's a long-term goal. Do we have a long-term goal as a believer? Looking at ourselves, 2, 3, 4, 5 years' time, at the end of that period, those years of being sanctified by Christ, of living for Christ, of learning the Word of Christ, where will I be? Will I be in a place far better than I am now, knowing more of Christ, being godly, more so than now, maturing? That's the word, maturing as a believer. Will I be in that place? Or will I, as it were, reverse and be like those in 1 Corinthians 3 who received the milk and not the meat? We need to be going forward. And sanctification is that process of going forward in our walk with Christ. And so tonight I want us to consider, our time is marching on, but very quickly I want you to consider a number of thoughts. Sanctified and complete in him. That's our title. And our first thought is a sure warning against seducers. A sure warning against seducers. You may think it's strange to suddenly move into a point about seducers, but this is the context of the passage. We find in verse 1 there is this warning against future struggles, and we find, moving down the passage, the apostle warns about those with enticing words, those who will deceive, those who will spoil through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And so the whole context of sanctification here is in light of standing against that which is false. The sanctified believer will rise above it. The sanctified believer will challenge it. The sanctified believer will collapse under it and give in to false doctrine. And Paul focuses our attention upon how we are to combat all of these things, these attacks, this deceit. He says, you're complete in Him. You're complete in Him. As you live your Christian life, as you face these attacks, as you're being rooted and grounded, as you're being sanctified, dear believer, he says, you're complete in Him. Christ is everything that you need. You don't need the false doctrine. You don't need the seduction. You don't need the deceit. Those things that will be set aside because Christ is enough. Some false doctrine in this world can be enticing. It can maybe allow us to drop our standards, to engage in sin. It maybe allows us to worship God in ways that we ought not to worship God. All these things can be enticing and enjoying. We can enjoy these things. But Christ in His Word, Christ in His worship, Christ in His salvation, Christ and His sanctification, we're complete. That is all that we need. The apostle mentions Laodicea. And that name rings a bell in our minds, does it not? If we turn to Revelation chapter 3, the verse 14, we find that letter to the church of the Laodiceans. And John writes, under the instruction from the Lord, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And here the Lord is saying to this church, I know thy works. You're not cold. You're not hot. You're somewhere in between. And the reality is, that is not good enough. That is not where they ought to be. He says, I would prefer either coldness or hotness, but not lukewarmness. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This is what the Lord is saying. This church is saying, I'm rich, I've goods, I've no need of nothing. What are they saying? They're complete. Not in Christ, but they're complete in all of these things. They have no need of anything. We are complete. We have all that we need. They don't have that service for Christ they ought to have. They don't have that desire for Christ. They don't have zeal for Christ. They are lukewarm. Lukewarm. And the Savior says, the reality is, you're wretched and miserable, you're poor and blind and naked, you have nothing. And that reminds us of something that is vital. Christ is everything. We are complete in Him because He is everything that we need. Salvation, sanctification, all of these things Christ has. And therefore, in this church saying, I am rich, I'm increased, I have all these things, the Savior says, you have nothing. You have nothing. Let us not be in a position where we think we have everything, where we think we have all those spiritual blessings, all those temporal blessings, everything that we need And therefore, as a result, we do not need our Savior. Because we're not complete in all of these things. We are complete in Him. For you.
Our Spurgeon devotional today is taken from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. Christian, here is all thou canst require. To make thee happy, thou wantest something that shall satisfy thee. And is not this enough? If thou canst pour this promise into thy cup, wilt thou not say with David, my cup runneth over. I have more than heart can wish. When this is fulfilled, I am thy God. Art thou not a possessor of all things? Desire is insatiable as death, but he who filleth all in all can fill it. The capacity of our wishes, who can measure? But the immeasurable wealth of God can more than overflow it. I ask thee if thou art not complete when God is thine. Dost thou want anything but God? Is not His all-sufficiency enough to satisfy thee if all else should fail. But thou wantest more than quiet satisfaction. Thou desirest rapturous delight. Come, soul, here is music fit for heaven in this thy portion. For God is the maker of heaven. Not all the music blown from sweet instruments or drawn from living strings can yield such melody as this sweet promise. I will be their God. Here is a deep sea of bliss, a shoreless ocean of delight. Come, be thy spirit in it, swim an age, and thou shalt find no shore. Dive throughout eternity, and thou shalt find no bottom. I will be their God. If this do not make thine eyes sparkle, and thy heart beat high with bliss, then assuredly thy soul is not in a healthy state. But thou wantest more than present delights. Thou cravest something concerning which thou mayest exercise hope. And what more canst thou hope for than the fulfillment of this great promise? I will be their God. This is the masterpiece of all the promises. Its enjoyment makes a heaven below and will make a heaven above. Dwell in the light of thy Lord and let thy soul be always ravished with his love. Get out the marrow and fatness which this portion yields thee. Live up to thy privileges and rejoice with unspeakable joy. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188th Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. and we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca and it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again tomorrow on this station at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. for the preaching of God's Word.